Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We're here talking with Paul Baldassano in reference to some of the hobbies and projects he's taken on post-retirement. But I want to go back in time a little bit as we continue here. And Paul started scuba diving in 1970 when he was on leave from his time in Vietnam.
R&R.
And what I would like, if you don't mind, to talk, I mean, my partner Peter, who was on the show once or twice, but is totally amazed with the story, your Vietnam story, if you don't mind sharing it's a historical story. It's not just something
It's not my favorite topic, but in 1970, April 1st, 1970, I was in Vietnam. I was a sergeant, and we were in this on a fire base, which was like a big clearing in the jungle about as big as a football field right on the Cambodian border. And I found out years later that we were put there as bait. There was about 200 of us. And they wanted us to get attacked and killed because they needed an excuse to go into Cambodia, where the Vietnamese were coming back into the United States. I didn't know this, of course, at the time, but they sent a bunch of priests out there and they gave us last rites and everything. And I thought, oh, this is nice. We're getting last rites. I thought it was like a religious thing. So anyway, I was only in the country 10 days. All of us, it was a nice, quiet night. All of a sudden, everything started blowing up. Everything. And when things blow up like that, it's not like in the movies. In the movies, things blow up and people die clean. They're just dead. They're just like, people are blown to heads, guts, intestines, all over the place. People are just blown to bits. You can't describe it, and if you tried, people wouldn't believe you. But anyway, everything started blowing up. And I was 19 years old or 20 years old, and I never saw this. I didn't know what was happening. I said, what the hell is it? What do you mean incoming? What does that mean? I don't know. And I dove into this little bunker, which was a little hole with some sandbags over it. And everybody started diving on top of me. And I says, oh, this is good. They're protecting me. They're diving on top of me. But my face was in the mud. And after so many guys were on top of me, I was hearing those cracks in your head when somebody starts crushing your head, and my mouth was stuck into the mud, and I couldn't breathe. I was screaming, and I was getting crushed. And then finally, most of the noise stopped, and everybody started running out of this little bunker. And then I went out, but you couldn't see because it was the dry season, and the ground was made out of white clay, like powder, and you couldn't see anything. I could only see 5-6 feet. So I says, oh, this doesn't look good. I mean, I had my rifle and everything, and I had my helmet. And I went out a few feet, and I heard bullet go right past my head. You never heard anything like a bullet going right past your ear, because it's not like in the movies where you say, oh, a bullet went past my ear. I mean, as the bullet passes your ear, it breaks the sound barrier. And sure. And it pushes your head. Just the air that comes by is pushing your head. So now I'm on the ground, and the bullets are going past my head. And I was scared to death. I just wanted to melt as low into the ground as I could, because besides the dopey bullets, which was the easiest part of it, the shrapnel, everything is blowing up, and all the shrapnel is hitting you in little pieces. Luckily, you're lucky if it's the little pieces. That, yes. The big pieces hit you dead. And you can't see, and you can't breathe, because the dust is just so thick, you can't breathe. And I'm laying there, and I'm scared to death. And if you're the biggest atheist in the world, you're going to find God at that point, I'm telling you. I started praying, because there was nothing. The only thing I had was the ground under me and my mind, but I was scared to death. And I knew I was going to die, because there was just so many bullets coming past me and on top of me and under me. I knew I was going to die. And then all of a sudden, I started praying, and I says, look, God, if you're there, you really should hear me now, because I really need some help. If I could only live a few more minutes, I'll be the best guy in the world, you know? And
you lied. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Anyway, and you find God right away, no matter how, you know.
There are no atheists in a foxhole.
No. And I thought all this fighting was happening just around me, because I couldn't see the rest of the place. And then all of a sudden what happens is the fear turns into anger, because I knew I was going to die. So now I figured I'm dead. I'm going to do anything I can now, because I'm going to die anyway. And the fear turns into anger, And the anger turns into rage, and you're not afraid anymore. And then you just get up, and you're going to run into these guys and do whatever you're going to do. You just see red, and you're not afraid because you figured you're dead anyway.
Yeah.
And it just happens to you. And right in that moment, that's that minute that I spent on that ground changed my whole life. Because from then on, I says, the rest of my life is going to be easy because all these stupid little things that happen to people, especially Americans who really have it easy, all these dope, like your cat died and your car got a little fender bender and you lost your job, all these dopey things, they don't mean anything. The most important thing you have is your life and your friends' lives, your family. Everything else is just stupid. Like if my boss would tell me I'm going to fire you, I'd say, you know, good, I got a boat, you know, who cares? And then we fought all, and then I went and did whatever I was supposed to do. Then we fought 4 or 5 hours, but then when the sun came up and the fighting stopped the next day, I realized it wasn't just me in the battle. We killed 200 of them, and there was 200 dead bodies surrounding us. Not just dead like in the movies. These guys were, most of them were not in one piece. There was guts and heads all over the place. And then they came in with the helicopters with the body bags for us, you know, for our guys.
Hmm.
And you have to help put the guy in the body bag with his parts. You got to try and find his parts and put him in the body bag and put him on the helicopter.
Hmm.
And it changes your whole perspective on life.
Sure.
Like I said, everything else is stupid.
Yeah, the others are fixable.
Yeah, like, you know, you see your friend, he's having an operation, or this guy's got a broken arm, or, you know, doesn't mean anything. If you see, you know, this carnage, and then you put your guys on the helicopter, and you know, first, you put the wounded guys on the helicopter and hope that they make it, and you never find out if they do or not. And then you put the dead, as a matter of fact, there was one guy. I have time? Yeah, another 5 minutes?
Yeah.
One guy, Eddie. He was one of the first guys wounded. He was wounded so bad that we didn't put him on the helicopter right away because we didn't think he was going to make it. His arms were blown off. He was a mess. And the helicopter was trying to, it was a Huey, and he was trying to take off. And the pilot says, one more guy. Let's try one more guy. But it was too heavy for the helicopter. So we put Eddie on the helicopter. And the pilot said, everybody lift the skis of the helicopter and run. You know, it was a helicopter like you see in a Marine.
Yeah.
And we all got around the helicopter. We lifted the skis, and we ran. And the thing finally took off and went over the mountains. The guy, Eddie, died a couple of years ago. He called me up. I didn't know he was alive, but he called me up dying.
Wow.
To ask me a question. And he died of cancer from Agent Orange after all of that. But anyway, they left those bodies, those 200 bodies out there for 3 days. Then there was just nothing but mounds of bugs. And then Life magazine was going to come out there and do a story on this because we didn't have reporters and things in those days. So Life magazine came out there to do a story, and they couldn't have all these dead bodies. So imagine if they had today, you killed 200 guys, you lost 50 of your own guys out of 200. I mean, we lost a third of our guys. And they sent these two big bulldozers out. Everything was on a helicopter. They sent these big bulldozers. They pushed all these bodies and topsoil and everything into the jungle. They pushed new topsoil on the firebase. They gave us haircuts, shaves. They washed us up, new rifles, new helmets, new shoes. And they had Vietnamese girls come out there and fill clean sandbags to cover the bloody sandbags and put all new. They planted flowers. And there's a picture of a general giving me a bronze star, and I look like a basic trainee. I had all clean clothes and everything on, and I'm saying, what the hell is going on here? We just killed all these guys, and they pushed all the bodies over there, and all our guys are dead and everything, and this guy's coming out, Life magazine, like, you know, like this is a party. And it was the weirdest thing of my life.
Politically correct.
I didn't understand it, but... And then anyway, that's the end of the battle thing for now. When I got out of the Army, you know, when you get drafted, you're in the Army for 2 years. So my last day in the Army was in Cambodia. So I left Cambodia, you stop in Japan and Alaska and all these places, and they left me in McGuire Air Force Base in New Jersey in the middle of the night. Now, you don't have any money because you don't use money in Vietnam. You know, you had this weird money to give you. So they gave me a subway token in New Jersey. A lot of subways in New Jersey. Give me a subway token. No goodbye, thank you, drop dead, you know, nice of you to show up. And I was out of the army in the middle of New Jersey in the middle of the night. Now, how am I supposed to get home from here? I was still dirty. Nothing. She came and picked me up with my mother and brother and everything because I called them from Alaska. But if they didn't pick me up, I would have had a hitchhike from New Jersey back to Flushing without a nickel on me. I says, how do you leave somebody like that? And the whole plane of us came home like that. And that was it. Like now they have parades, they pick you up, they have signs on the pole, you know. They sent me home dirty and they just left me there. It was the weirdest thing. And the main thing I missed, I spent the whole year in the jungle. The whole 12 months I spent in the jungle, I never saw a road, a roof, a wall, electricity, nothing. And the main, when I came home from Tan Son Nhut Air Force Base in Vietnam, they put me on a TWA plane to come home. And I saw that plane, and the TWA was written in orange on the back of the plane. And I'll never forget, I thought that TWA was lit up with, like, lights, because I never saw the color orange the whole year I was there. Everything was green. You're in the jungle.
Wow.
The food, the bullets, everything is green. So you don't see any colors. And the color orange looked so garish to me that I thought there was, like, neon lights in the plane. And I said, that's weird. Why would they put lights in the tail of the plane? And then when you got in the plane, everything was, you know, yellow and orange and pink. And I never saw these colors. And it looked so... It looked like discos when we used to go to discotheques, and, you know, with the day glow. And it wasn't. It was just the color of the plane. I never saw these colors for the whole year. And I said, wow, look at these colors. It's weird. And it just struck me as so weird that I should think of that and miss colors of all things.
You don't even think of something like that.
No, you don't, unless you miss it for a whole year.
Yeah.
But the mind, honestly, this was a show I was watching a year ago. The most variations of the human eye is for green, because that's what you're especially like in the jungle for a year, your eye picks up 100 different shades of green.
Yeah, the food is green. Everything's green. You know, it comes in green cans. The bullets are green.
Yeah.
Everything is green.
G.I.
The writing paper they give you is green. Yeah. Everything.
You can have any color you want as long as it's green.
It's green.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you don't realize that, but when everything's green and you see orange, it's like, wow, what is that?
Yes.
But we're out of time, but one of the most positive points of this story is you learned how to scuba dive, and you're here today.
That's
and you did a tremendous thing for the country. And that's, you know, honestly, I mean, this is the first time I've heard this story.
Oh, yeah.
You've never told me. You've told Peter. You never told me. Nevertheless, thank you, Paul, so much for coming on the show. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.